Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So our apologies to Antonio Scarmetta and his apologies to you. We'll try to do that conversation another day when we can get a better phone line to Chile. For right now, though, we are in the middle of our summer advice series to help you navigate those sticky situations that come up between family, friends, and even strangers, as we will see today. We're really pleased to be joined for this during four Thursdays this summer by expert advice giver Emily Yaffe, also known as Slate's Dear Prudence. Hey, Emily, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks again for doing this with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
And so, listeners, here we go. Give us a call with your conundrums, and we will take your questions on the air rapid fire. So give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Do you have in-law problems at a June wedding? Do you have a strange coworker or friends who constantly invite themselves over and show up empty-handed? And Emily gets a lot of questions about affairs of the heart, including the extracurricular kind. So give us a call with any questions that may fit at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Emily Yaffe, who writes Slate's Dear Prudence column, will offer you her expert advice. And so as your calls are coming in, we're going to have Emily answer a question that was posted on our website from Morgan in New York City. And you can read the question yourself. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. This was posted under the headline, Need Advice? Ask Emily Yaffe, from about a week ago. And here's the question. Emily, are you all ears?
I am.
While at a local cafe, a woman at the next table, who is a mature woman, probably in her 60s, got up to get more coffee. As she returned to her table, I noticed that her dark-colored summer-weight sweater was quite transparent, and one could clearly see her braless breasts. She had a jacket on the back of her chair, but since it was 90 degrees, I doubted she would be wearing it. She was very absorbed in her study of a particular subject and probably did not notice a fellow sitting nearby staring at her chest. I debated whether to let her know that the sweater was transparent. I would have wanted to know, but I also did not wish to embarrass her or disrupt her concentration, so I said nothing. Was I right to just mind my own business and let this lovely woman walk around half exposed? So there's the question as posted on our site. So do you have an easy yes or no answer? Should this person have alerted the woman to her situation?
I think in general, you don't say to women, particularly in their 60s, excuse me, I can see your breasts. Just don't say that. You know, it's safer not to. It's not as if this woman, the strap on her tank top broke and she didn't know she was sitting there with her breast actually out, which you would think she would have felt the breeze. But it's just that her, I don't know whether to give props or be horrified at the idea of a woman in her 60s out braless with a sheer top. But anyway, when she left the house that morning, she had to have known she'd forgotten her bra and her top was sheer, and I would just concentrate on my venti latte and stay out of her breath.
Is there any kind of, you know, order of things that you would do or wouldn't do? Like, what if somebody sees that a guy's fly is unzipped? Is that in a different category?
Yes, I think that we've all had the experience of getting in the car at the end of the evening and getting home and realizing I have spinach on my front tooth and my spouse didn't say anything. Mm. I mean, people should rescue each other from that kind of thing. The fly unzipped is really, that's, you know, it's highly personal. If you know the person, for goodness sake, pull him aside. If you don't, I've had letters about this, and people who have been warned have always been grateful. And it can be as little as you're passing someone on the street, you know, fly down, And I've had people say, I was really grateful because I was going into a meeting. Thank goodness someone was willing to say that to me. I once spoke to a woman, okay, potential gross out alert for you, Brian, who said she was, for some reason, wearing white pants, and it accidentally ended up being that time of month, big time. She was in the grocery store, and she said a man came over, tapped her on the shoulder, and said, ma'am, you need to attend to something. And she said, I was so glad, he is as embarrassing as that encounter was, thank goodness I didn't spend half an hour going up and down the aisles not knowing what was going on.
And there you go. All right, let's go on to some other questions from some of our callers. Again, if you have a question for Emily Yaffe, a.k.a. Dear Prudence, on Slate, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Here's Stephanie calling in from Hamburg, New Jersey. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
I am wondering whether I should allow my 16-year-old daughter to participate in the gay parade. She wants to march in it. She does not say that she's gay, but I'm concerned about the vulgarity and the inappropriateness and the dark side that comes out in the gay parade and how that would affect her. Whether that's appropriate for me to allow her to do that.
All right, Emily.
Great question, and I think very fair concerns of yours. It's not, hey, I don't want my daughter associated with this, but that there are things there, the sensibility of a 16-year-old might not be ready for.
Right.
I think you should let her go. She is living in a time. Is your daughter out, or is this just a support for gay people?
My daughter is exploring her sexuality.
Okay.
She is not. She's not proclaimed whether she's gay. She doesn't act gay. She's attracted to both sexes, as most people naturally are.
Sure. I mean, in one way, it's irrelevant, but. This is what a fabulous time to be a young person who's feeling that way, who knows that she's a lesbian or he's gay or is exploring or is curious or is confused, because, you know, the Supreme Court essentially, I mean, has finally resolved it, but in this huge way has said, hey, you're just another person. Excuse me, and you're entitled to your rights and to love whoever you want. So this is a thrilling time to be young and be dealing with those issues, or even just feel, I want to support this. So I think you should let her go.
I don't support the public display of the vulgarity and the dark side of it.
Okay.
I don't support that.
What do you mean? I mean, I realize you're talking about some risque behavior that takes place at the parade, or risque just displays. But what do you mean by the dark side?
Well, there is an element of S&M that occurs, the dog leashes, and just that it's kind of a display that has disrespect towards sexuality in a way, especially for someone whose mind is just growing in that way.
I think that's very fair, and you say it so well. You can have this conversation with your daughter. You can say, there are elements of this that I think are inappropriate, or I think sully the message, or belong in private. So, you know, I'm letting you go, but, you know, I want you to be aware of that, and that I feel some of this stuff crosses the line of just, you know, kind of common, decent behavior. And you can talk to her about this. I don't think what she sees is going to necessarily push her in any kind of way. She may be disturbed herself. You know, it's a good conversation. You know, Mom, I know what you mean, and I didn't like that.
Stephanie, thanks so much for calling with your question. I really appreciate it. I hope Emily gave you some useful advice there. Hey, Emily, before we go on to some more callers with questions, a few people are calling to push back on your advice regarding telling the woman that her shirt was too transparent. So let's take at least one of these. Wilson in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wilson.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your point?
My point is that I understand that the lady was in a restaurant, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it happened to me some time ago. But what I did was I asked a waitress to go and inform that person that the chest is showing.
In other words, you didn't want to go up to her.
He heard it from another female, so I think that would be my way of doing it.
Thank you. From another female being the point, but you wouldn't feel comfortable as a guy. Let me go on to Bettina in Chelsea, who's also calling with a response to this. Hi, Bettina.
Hi there.
And?
Well, I totally agree. I totally disagree. I would apply the golden rule to any situation, assuming that I were in that situation. If a woman's
meaning blouse, you would golden rule meaning you would want to be told.
Exactly. And many is the time that I have encountered a man on the street whose zipper was down, and I have gestured to him with a finger to lift his zipper, which he immediately would do. Here's a case in point. I was walking on 14th Street. If somebody chooses to ignore it, it's their privilege. I was walking on 14th Street. A very buxom woman was walking toward me in a very low tank top, and her nipple was showing. And I caught her eye, and I said to her, "You might want to attend to that." And she totally ignored me. And I said to myself as I walked on, "Maybe not."
Mm. Yeah, maybe not. Bettina, okay, so Emily, you've heard, and Bettina, thank you. So you heard two different kinds of responses to your advice. What are you thinking?
Well, Bettina raises a great point just about summer display. I mean, maybe there should be a license before people wear shorts or tank tops, because the stuff you see all summer long is just astounding. If you're going to say to every woman in a tank top who probably shouldn't be wearing one, hey, you're going to attend to that, you're not going to get down the street. I just think in the first letter as it was presented, a woman in her 60s who leaves the house without a bra and a sheer top knows what she's doing.
Maybe not a mistake and an accident. All right, let's go on to another caller. Kathy on the Upper West Side has a question for some advice. Hiya, Kathy.
Hi. I recently got married, and I have a wonderful husband who has a very strange brother. He's very sensitive and has extreme social anxiety. He's actually on meds for his social anxiety. We don't see him often because he lives in another state, but we just saw him last weekend, and he gives me very inappropriate hugs.
Mm.
I've told my husband about it, and he said, okay, just avoid him, which I tried to do, and it didn't work. And we don't know what to do because he's very sensitive. We don't want to hurt his feelings, but every time he hugs me, I get creeped out.
This sounds like it's right in your wheelhouse, Emily,
yeah.
The inappropriate hugger.
Oh, boy, there's so many of them. And, you know, often they're the father-in-law. How creepy is that? The thing about sensitive people, and I can't tell my brother-in-law, my mother, or blah, blah, whoever, because they'll get really upset and cry. So what? This empowers people to violate your space, to take advantage of you, et cetera. You sympathetically understand this brother-in-law has troubles. That does not mean he gets to touch you in a way that creeps you out. So I think you need a double-barreled approach. One, when you see him, he starts coming toward you. Hand out, I'm not a hugger, Albert, sorry. He keeps coming toward you. Hand further out, don't hug me, thanks. Then your husband should pull him aside and say, you know what? You got to stop the hugs. Kathy is uncomfortable. Don't do it.
But if the brother is seeing her give and get appropriate hugs with other relatives, does I'm not a hugger work, or does her husband need to be explicit with his brother about the way he's hugging?
Yeah,
that's the exact problem.
Go ahead.
yes. went, you know, I'm hugging the whole family, so then it would be weird to not hug him.
Okay, then I think your husband has to say, Albert, you get in too close, you hang on too long. It's making Kathy uncomfortable.
Is he up to it?
I hope so.
And then, you know, you have just got to control your own body. He starts coming in, just put your hand out, you know, gently so he can't give you the squeeze. It's okay. You control yourself. It doesn't matter if he gets upset. What's he going to do? Go in the corner and cry? You know,
gotcha.
It's better for him to know you can't act like this.
Kathy, good luck. Sounds like you gave her some advice she's going to try to implement. Emily, that's great. Let's go next to Anna, who has an advice question about something that's going on, I guess, at her husband's workplace, I think is what it is. I think we got this posted on our webpage the other day, and now we're going to follow up with a phone call. Anna, you there?
Yeah, and it's my workplace.
Your workplace, I'm sorry.
I was discussing the whole thing with him, and then I came home yesterday, and he was like, oh, I posted this on the Brian Lehrer show. So
cool.
Basically, this is about going away parties when someone is leaving the job to go back to school, to, you know, not a retirement, but... And sometimes they're leaving because they've had a disagreement and that they'd want to leave. But anyway, it's not consistent, but sometimes the person who's leaving gets a going-away party. And sometimes there's a collection, either by, you know, an email is sent out to everybody, and you can bring whatever donation you want to make towards a gift to so-and-so or so-and-so. Other times somebody brings an envelope from desk to desk. And I tried to speak to that person about who ran the last party and say, I don't think it's a good idea. I think some of us don't have the same salary. Some of us are trying to put themselves through school or have financial situations we have no knowledge of, and to stand at somebody's desk with an envelope. And she was like, oh, but I hand them the envelope. I don't look at, you know, they can put in 50 cents. They can put in whatever. And I really disagreed with the whole thing.
I agree with you. And since it sounds like people are fleeing your workplace, there needs to be some kind of rule put out. Does your office have an HR department?
I work for a very small place.
Okay.
I understand about HR departments and stuff. It's basically one person. That's not going to work.
Well, but if there's someone who, you know, is the person who would say, hey, it's summertime, no flip-flops, everyone. You know, that goes for you interns, everyone else. It would be really good to sort of say, you know, this has been applied inconsistently. It's really unfair. Some people get a gift. Some people get a party. Some people get a, here's a box, get your stuff and leave. We need a consistent policy. And really, for the sake of everyone, it should be the company, if they're going to do a farewell, pays for a cake. That's it. If someone is really friends with the person who's leaving, they can have an off-premises event and even say, look, we want to get a lovely gift for so-and-so who's leaving and going back to school or whatever. But this should not it should not be so hit or miss at the office.
Well,
there should
you know what else?
An office way of handling this.
You know what else, Emily? Anna's story. Anna, did I hear you right that people go from desk to desk with the envelope and try to hit you up personally?
That's in some cases that's what happens. In other cases it does not. You simply get an email. If you would like to contribute, please see so and so, and that, you know, and give your donation to them.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think those two things are really very different.
Yeah.
Emily, if you go to everybody's desk, then you're really putting them on the spot. If you say, oh, there's an envelope at my desk, and if you want to come down and leave something in it for our dear departing colleague, feel free. Those strike me as very different. Do you?
Yeah, I agree. That's why there should be sort of a company rule. Look, here's what we're doing. Here's what the company's doing. We're going to have a cake for everyone who leaves. If people privately want to get a gift, please take that off premises and no, you know, going desk to desk. Handle that as a social thing.
Then if you want to give something, you give.
Anna, thank you. Good luck. I hope
thank
that
you.
Was helpful. Let's
yes.
go on to Rachel and Summit. Rachel, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi there. I have a question about reprimanding another child if that child is not present, if the mother or a parent is not present under 10 years old with certain situations.
Well, can you give an example of the situation?
Okay, so it's a friend of my daughter's. The friend tends to be not nice in general. But if a group of kids is playing and my child goes over to play with them and one of them and the mean one says, why don't you just go play with some of your other friends because I don't feel like playing with you right now. They're under eight. And that person's parents are not there. Am I allowed to say something to that child?
I think you are. I think, well, first of all, if you've got a child who's consistently problematic, as difficult as it is, it'd be better to talk to the parents and say, look, little Emma's lovely. Sometimes she's very forthright and she can say things that are hurtful to the other kids. I'd really appreciate it if you tell her if she doesn't want to play, don't say to the other kid, get lost, et cetera. But in the moment, I think it's very fair to say, Emma, I'm sorry, that's not polite. Everyone's allowed to play now. You can't tell Courtney to go somewhere else.
Okay. That is what I tend to do because it's a continuous thing that happens.
Well, you're there. You're in loco parentis. You are acting as the parent, so you have rules for your own child.
Exactly. I wouldn't let my own child
right.
say it. Right.
So if there is someone is behaving in a way that's dangerous, certainly you would step up and say, you can't, go down to the stream. So
correct.
if someone is making another child feel left out, in a calm, gentle, just corrective way as possible, which it sounds like you're doing, I think you do have to step up because you have to say to the group, no, this is violating our standard of behavior.
Rachel, thanks
right.
for your call. Good luck with it.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Emily, we've got about a two minute window left. You'll be back another few Thursdays this summer with more advice for more listeners. Obviously, judging by our phones, people need a lot of advice out there. How did you become an advice columnist, of all things?
I am the third Dear Prudence at Slate, and the previous Dear Prudence, Marco Howard, was leaving, and I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of a yenta. I'm full of opinions. Why not? And I, as Sheryl Sandberg would say, I leaned in and said, I'd like this job. So there you go. I am not a psychologist. I don't have any credentials. But I just stepped up and did it. And I think I like Dear Abby's formulation about this because when she was asked, well, what makes you able to do this? And she said, I'm a person with common sense who can express it. So that's what I like to do.
And we were thinking of maybe next week doing all questions about extramarital affairs. I hear you get a lot on that. Is that right?
Yeah, Brian, does that shock you?
Well, what do people ask? Like, is it okay for me to sleep around if I don't know what? But it's really reaction to other people's extramarital affairs? Is that mostly what you get?
Well, it's very rarely, hey, is it just okay for me to sleep around? But how about this? I'm a 50-year-old man. My wife has said, I'm really done with sex. I'm not interested anymore. Do I need to be celibate or can I have affairs? That complicates that right away.
So you know what? Let's promise everybody we'll pick up on that note and you'll answer that question and we'll move on from there when you're back. And it's actually 2 weeks from today because next week is the 4th of July. So Thursday, July 11th, everybody, please make a note of it. Emily Yaffe, Dear Prudence on Slate. Have a happy 4th. Talk to you in a couple of weeks, Emily.
Thank you, Ryan.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.